Blog Talk Radio.
Today is an amazing day, as I'll be finishing my internship with Instruction Design Media Services at the University of Rio Grande and Rio Grande Community College. This right now is my second of three interviews for my TV show, and I'm right now interviewing Kingsley Meyer. He is the Director of Campus Community and Network Services. We are also accompanied by my lovely Carl, my tomato plant, and Alola, my Alola plant, Max. He's pretty shy. Okay, so yes, it was a great honor to be able to tour your tree farm and your vegetable garden.
You couldn't have picked a more hot day to come out to the farm and bring us rains, too, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get started. Can you show us some things at the farm?
Well, to put things in context, Tim met me at my office after all the students had been moving in for getting into our residence halls. And what we did was we drove down. I only live about 5 miles from the campus, so it's really, for me, the best of both worlds, being able to have high technology on one end and to have sort of a primitive environment back at home. And we wanted to see some things that helped you put context to the interview. So I think the intro showed us riding through the woods, and that's something we enjoy doing. This time of year, when there are ticks and chiggers, sometimes it helps to be on four wheels and go rolling through the woods. If I sent you home with chigger bites, I'd be hearing a different interview at this time. So. Anyhow, I guess the thing that we start with is that we bought a farm here locally that has 70 acres, and it was mainly wooded at the time that we purchased it, but it's overgrown land. It was once flat lands and hay field. In fact, I have a picture of it when I was born, 1952, and they were cutting hay on the top of the ridge on my property. But now it's in hardwoods, and we call it a tree farm, not a tree garden. And the tree farm is managed under a tree farm management plan that our forester from the Ohio Department of Natural Resources provides. And so he walked through the property and then mapped it and told us what sort of timber cultural practices we should be employing on certain parts of it. So, do we have any shots of trees in the woods?
Yes.
So, the first one just sort of shows the only flat ground I have on my property, and that's the squash ground. Originally, that had a tobacco allotment, so I had to sell that when the Department of Agriculture said that I wasn't really a serious farmer, and so I had to get rid of that. But from here, it's all uphill. We took a couple of the ravines. This one here, we put in a water impoundment so that we had water for wildlife and some recreation. And that's our aquaculture project. We have some not only a place to swim, but we also have catfish and other types of fish in there.
Cool.
So this is an old gas line right away. It goes up behind our house, and we go up into the woods from here. Mm-hmm. And most of the trees right now are not large. This area is only about 30, 35 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some nice trees in it, and then there are others that are poorly formed. So what we do is we look at the top, the crown of the tree.
Mm.
We cut out trees that are badly formed.
Yes.
And we select the ones that have the best chance of growing into a good saw log.
Yes.
And by doing that type of management, we can have a sustainable crop of trees over a longer period of time,
mm-hmm.
and we'll sell that at some point, probably when my wife and I can no longer walk up the hill and enjoy it for its natural environment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody enjoys seeing timber harvest areas after there are stumps in the ground.
Ah, interesting. Wow. Interesting. Very interesting. While on the journey through your lovely tree farm, your dog, Baxter.
Baxter and really, Red were there.
Yeah, really nice dogs. Baxter, you got injured with like a little, what is it, like a little splinter?
Baxter got a thorn in his foot.
Yeah.
And you would think, like an elephant, you take a thorn out of an elephant's foot, he'll uh-huh. remember you forever, be your friend. Baxter's not quite like that. He just is glad to have a thorn out, and he goes off running again.
Yes. Well, I was going to mention, like, what are some of the biggest issues that you face on your tree farm?
So far, since we've owned it over 20 years, the biggest issue was the big ice storm that we had one President's Day, where we had a lot of pines and other trees go down, and the derecho, which tore a lot of the treetops out. And when it did that, sometimes it would take a perfectly good tree that would grow up to be a nice saw log, and it just snapped the top of it off. And we weren't ready for harvest, and now I have a tree without a top, and that just invites bugs and other types of problems to decrease the value of that tree because it won't grow anymore.
Interesting. Wow. I have to say, like, it's a big tree farm. Like, do you work with like anyone on campus, or collaborate with any local businesses?
Well, you know, I can't take care of it all myself,
mm-hmm.
as you know.
Yes.
But I do open it up for people that are invited to cut firewood.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a couple of co-workers of ours here at the university that
mm-hmm.
come out. And as I thin out the trees, some of the wood that remains is good firewood candidates. We also have here at the university a program for fish and wildlife biology. And our professor of that program, Don Althoff, has some flying squirrel nesting boxes up there. And the nice thing about it is that he has a long-term research project, and our property is part of that. And he brings the students out. And typically it's at the end of the winter, and he goes up and he collects he opens the boxes and looks to see what the populations are. We have a picture of an acoustic monitoring system right now. There's a box mounted on that pole and two microphones, and they're of different acoustic ranges. He's listening for bats and for flying squirrels.
Oh.
And the thing about a biologist and a researcher is you have to collect a lot of data. So he's out there a couple times a year putting them up for a week at a time. He monitors the nesting boxes, and he gets our students involved.
Cool.
So this morning when I was out, he had his students out on the area behind our baseball field at the foot of Moose Hill, and they were out there checking, you know, some of the property here that's closer to the campus.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that the students get out.
That's
good. Biology doesn't happen in a classroom.
Oh, yeah. Yes, very true. So I see you brought some produce.
Well, yeah, as you know, I was very apologetic when we went through my vegetable garden. The only level ground, as we saw, was down at the bottom of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
But up closer to my house, we took an area and leveled it off, and we put up an old greenhouse frame and put fencing around it so that I had a place for my raised beds.
Yeah.
And the first thing that happened was the Rio Grande Valley Stables gave me, or delivered to me, 5 dump truck loads of poo power. And we composted it and eventually filled the boxes. And now I spend a lot of time just recycling organic material around the property. I take wood chips. I take scraps from the garden, kitchen vegetable scraps. So anything that comes off of the boxes when they're done that's not edible goes into compost. And I will give you a gift here a little bit later on as, you know, we get finished with the show.
Wow.
But, you know, the vegetables are important because I like to eat fresh, like to eat local. I have neighbors that are Amish farming, and you can go down to the local farm market and buy it in bulk. But it's nice to have a fresh tomato. So I've got one that I'll give you here. And it's squash harvesting time. So butternuts, vegetable spaghetti, delicatas with the yellow, with the green stripes.
Mm.
We got a Mr. Wardy pumpkin in there, too. So some of it's decorative. We have some butter cups as well as the butter nuts. And this year I'm hoping we had enough rain for a good harvest.
Mm-hmm.
But I still had some vegetable spaghetti in the basement that made it this far through the year. But it's also the time for fall root harvest crops. So turnips, kohlrabis, carrots, they're all good things that have made it through. We started, of course, in the spring with things like radishes. Radishes are quick growing, and we have other quick growing crops that don't like the heat, and those would be your lettuces and broccolis and spinach. So we have seen an entire season of vegetables,
mm-hmm.
and now when I would like to have some more, it's getting towards the end. But I took the raised beds and I planted my tomatoes in the back with some mulch and put beans in the front of it, and the beans just took over, and now there's just tomatoes left, just tomatoes and peppers.
Mm.
So the nice thing is that the peppers and the tomatoes love the heat of late summer.
Mm.
So they'll make it up through the time we have our crops.
Interesting. Now, talking about tomatoes, how many types of tomatoes do you have on your farm?
We go over to the local nursery and we buy the flats, 4 and 6 little plants, and put them out there. That one right there, I don't know if I could name. The small one's a Sweet 100, and we also have another small, what we would call a cherry tomato.
Oh.
And I don't know the name of this one either. But it's a lot more pink. But there's a zillion different kinds of tomatoes. There's
a zillion.
A zillion's a big number.
Yeah.
Some tomatoes are paste, very thick and fleshy.
Mm-hmm.
Others are made for slicing and putting on, your hamburger or your sandwich. This is a very all-purpose one. This would probably be one that could go in for home canning and for making sauce.
Mm.
I have one that's a little bit larger than this that's sort of a pinkish yellow. But last night when I was out there before the show, I didn't have any that were ready for harvesting. But I want you to have these.
Because I
noticed that I'm still in production, and I have, you can't have this one.
Oh.
I noticed that you started growing plants, too.
Yes. I just grow my best friend, Carl. He's not my best friend, but my buddy Carl here. Yeah, he grows cherry tomatoes for me. I usually just, when they turn nice and red, they're right now green. Might not be able to see it because actually, you can't see it. It's green. And, yes, they're very delicious.
But Carl's got flowers on it. So
yes, he also looks good, too. Yeah.
Carl's got... Treat Carl right, and he's got a good future here for the next month or so.
Yes, yes. So how long do you think he'll last? I mean, this is my first time actually growing a vegetable plant.
That's true. I noticed that you had Carl outside.
Yes.
Carl will do very well as long as he gets full sun and you keep him watered.
Mm.
But when you see the first frost warning on the weather, you're going to have to cover him at night. Otherwise, he's going to get nipped by the frost.
Oh, wow. So he can last through the winter if I put something like a bag over him?
He will diminish because the days get shorter and shorter. But if you had a light inside, you could grow Carl through the winter.
Okay.
But most tomato plants are only going to live for a year.
Oh.
They're an annual plant. They just don't live on and on and on like an apple tree would.
Ah, sorry, Carl. Looks like you're going in December.
Well,
yeah.
I guess now's as good a time as any for me to give you the gift that I brought along today.
So many guys. This guy's amazing.
Well, we saw a picture of my compost pile, and while this isn't the fanciest container, I realized that, one of the things that you asked me was about saving seeds.
Yeah.
Can I save the seed and grow it again?
Yeah.
So for next year, I wanted Carl Jr., Carl Jr., to have a good start.
Oh,
and so here are some of my homemade compost.
Oh.
And I'd like to have you put this in the pot,
mm-hmm,
wherever you live next year, so that you can have a good start for college junior.
Oh man, I'm in tears right now.
The last time I saw you in tears is when you were eating one of these.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But, you know, what would you call this?
A potato?
Yes, but this is also a seed. Because around the bottom and along the edges, you see little places where sprouts will grow, and you can plant this in the ground, cover it over.
Yeah.
No, this isn't Carl Jr.
Oh, okay,
but,
okay.
You know, you can grow potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about potatoes is that when you grow them,
mm-hmm,
you can keep the ones out of your root cellar in the basement,
mm-hmm,
and they'll start growing sprouts. But if you keep some, you can cut them up and replant them year after year.
Mm.
What you have to watch out for is inviting disease that would take over and destroy the overall crop. And those of you that want to, you know, look for a historical reference to that should investigate the Irish tomato blight and those types of things.
Irish tomato
blight. Yeah, the Irish potato blight.
Potato blight.
If you were to have a blight go through your ground and your crops, and that was a mainstay of the food that you stored, that would take care of you. But you could save tomatoes.
Cool.
Take the seeds. You can save pepper seeds.
I could seed that.
You could.
Yeah. The pun, but yeah.
And, you know, if you would like to grow a habanero next year.
Yeah.
You can save the seeds from this,
mm-hmm,
dry them out, put them in a envelope,
mm-hmm,
regular paper envelope, put a label on it,
mm-hmm,
and next year you can put them out in soil like this,
mm-hmm,
and get them off to a good start.
Cool.
And when they're big enough, you can put them into pots like Carl's.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to have a garden next year?
Sweet, yes, I will. I'll have a big one definitely with this and this. My next question is, I mean, since we're on the topic of home and gardening, what advice would you give to someone starting up, like, their own tomato farm?
Tomato farm. I would recommend if people, you know, want to have gardening, they start with growing it for themselves and then their family.
Yes.
If you're going to be farming, then you need to have a business plan, and most farms that are doing agribusiness need to know just what is the possibility of selling this on the market, how are you going to get it, who are going to be your buyers, whether you're selling just out on a stand in front of your house or whether you're going to be taking it to the wholesaler market. Because, you know, those are the types of things that determine whether or not you get a return for all the time and effort. But by all means, start by preparing foods or gardening plants for you and your family.
Gotcha.
It's worthwhile. My daughter, who moved to Connecticut and grew up here in Rio Grande, I don't know how much she remembers about when she was a kid, and I, you know, brought her around the garden. But this year, she went down to the local box store and bought wooden boxes from white cedar from out west.
Mm-hmm.
Filled them up with bags and bags and bags of potting soil and composted soil and peat moss. And every week, she's posting pictures of peppers and eggplant and tomatoes. And she and her friends are eating fresh, and they're using it to put a little bit of variety in their life and to improve cooking,
mm-hmm,
eating healthy. And, God, there's nothing that can make a father more happy and proud than to see that carry on.
Mm.
Because, you know, you just can't eat prepared foods all the time.
Mm.
You really can't.
Yeah. You talked about both, like, planning and a business plan and scheduling. So back to your farm, by the way. Would you say both, like scheduling is a big deal with both having a tree farm and having a small vegetable garden? I mean, would you say, like, you have a school job here working at campus commuting. So how would you, like, time yourself?
My year goes in cycles.
Yeah.
Obviously, the middle of winter, I'm looking at snow and ice.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at my gardening catalogs.
Uh-huh.
And when it thaws out, I may be preparing a bed and getting my early crops in. I've got that nice early spring, you know, season getting out there. The lawn starts to come along. You're starting to grow some grass. You go through the season with your vegetables, and then at some point like now, you're just seeing the tail ends. And right, like this last evening, I was putting some of my compost on the beds for next winter and covering them over with a crop of buckwheat.
Hmm.
When the ticks and the chiggers leave, I move on to firewood.
Yeah.
After firewood, it's back to winter again, and the cycle continues.
Uh-huh.
I enjoy the variety of it,
uh-huh.
but there's no way that I'm going to go up and fight with insect bites in the
hmm.
middle of winter if I don't have to.
Hmm.
But middle of winter, you'd die to be able to bite into a fresh tomato or to have some green beans that hadn't been shipped from South America.
Mm.
Because, you know, maybe with hydroponics and doing some gardening here locally, you can pump out vegetables year-round, but there's nothing like having your fresh vegetables from your garden. So down south, peach trees.
Mm-hmm.
Peach trees are now in season, you know, everybody's getting a lot of peaches.
Georgia.
But what do they do the rest of the year?
Xbox 360. I'm sorry, Xbox One.
Yeah, I think they have their own cycle, too. They're taking
yeah.
care of their orchards. They're pruning off the dead wood.
Uh-huh.
They're getting all of that infected wood and bad wood out of the area so that their trees grow healthy again.
Uh-huh.
Maybe getting an early spraying on the trees so that they don't have bugs.
Yeah.
But they do the same thing we do. They can't wait for another growing season and to have fresh vegetables and
uh-huh.
fresh fruit.
Interesting, very interesting.
It's about time for us to be going up to our local orchards and getting fresh apples.
Wow.
You like cider?
Yes, love apple cider.
Okay.
Yes. You know how to make it exactly? You know how to like smash the apples and stuff?
I get cider by going to the cider mill. They take all the bad apples.
Mm-hmm.
And they crush them all up. The bad apples.
Yeah.
And they put it into a big container,
mm-hmm.
and then they squeeze it out. And what's left is the pulp, and that pulp just brings all sorts of yellow jackets and
mm-hmm.
bees because it's still very attractive for them. But the cider's, you know, cider's made out of second, third, you know, grade apples. They don't use the best apples for cider. Same way they don't use the best apples for making apple butter and other things.
Mm. Interesting. Very interesting.
We will take another field trip.
Definitely. I would love that. That'd be awesome.
Let's go up to Richard Brothers and we'll get some cider and we'll get some fresh apples.
Cool. Very cool. What's the hottest pepper in your garden?
You might have to try each one of them to determine that. I brought three, and you will have to try one of each in order to make that decision of your own. Or we can make this a panel decision, because I brought plenty for our engineers today. So instead of laughing at us, they could,
mm-hmm.
you know, somebody needs to go out for milk, though.
Oh, yes.
Somebody needs to go out for milk. And,
yes,
definitely. It's not for the faint of heart.
Uh-huh.
It really isn't.
Yes. I should make a phone call. Well, so actually two students will be very interested in doing it. Yeah.
Tell you what, I will donate this to you and your science experiment. Do not tell the students where my office is. Can I have a disclaimer of liability on this?
We can't afford that. I'm sorry.
I think, you know, as a Department of Agriculture, everybody's
mm-hmm.
worried about the quality of our food supply.
Yes.
But if you go down to your local food stand, the vegetable stand, you know, you know what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're going to get somebody's vegetables that they have grown. We always think that, you know, locally grown is healthy.
Yeah.
But there's really no controls over that. You know, they don't come by and look at my, you know, vegetables if I give them to you.
Mm. Well,
so what's the aloe going to be used for?
His name is Max.
Max?
Yes.
Max is going to have babies.
Yes, eventually. 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He gave it to me, by the way.
We have the mother of all aloes at the house on the porch, and every year we tip it over onto a big sheet of plastic, and all of the small plants come off. And so this is probably a 3 or 4 year old.
Mm-hmm.
And the little ones go into new pots, and the new pots go to the basement, they come to the porch, they go to the basement, they come to the porch, and then eventually they go home with a TV and radio personality like yourself.
Get out of here. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yes. I was kind of concerned, though. Is little leaves or they turn a little brown. Should I bring them back inside?
The coloring may have changed because you had it out in the direct sun.
Okay.
This, I believe, we had on the back side of the porch, so
yeah.
It had a little more shade.
Yeah.
You haven't killed it. Don't worry.
Okay.
You
yeah.
haven't killed Oof. It. But this is a succulent. It's filled with a lot of moisture,
mm-hmm.
and I'd call it jelly-filled.
Mm-hmm.
But a blacksmith would keep an aloe plant somewhere near their shop, and when they picked up a piece of hot metal and burned themselves, they would take that and smear it on that.
It's good for burns.
Good for burns, good for skin care. You know, today you see a lot of skin care products that have aloe vera in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it comes from. That's where it comes from.
Very interesting, very interesting. You got any good, like, farming or vegetable jokes? Or even puns?
I bet you ask that of all your guests.
Oh.
You know, just do you have a vegetable joke? Do you have a coffee
one.
Joke
yeah.
or anything like that? Actually, no, but I could have come prepared, but I didn't see that one coming, and that wasn't on the scripts that we shared like that. So please send your vegetable jokes to Tim.
Yes.
Because you know when he moves down to Georgia or wherever and opens up his vegetable farm,
yes.
he will be the jokester.
Yes, or puns. Or puns.
Or puns.
Yeah, or puns. Don't forget the puns. You got to have an extra pun here and there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. Next thing. Actually, a couple more things really quick. If you could, what would you like to add to both your tree farm and your vegetable garden?
Helpers.
Yes.
Yeah, more help is always great. I think I would, I look forward to retirement, having a little more time. I felt guilty this year when it got so hot and I wasn't out there watering it as much as I should,
mm-hmm.
and I guess that's always good because it keeps us wanting to do better year by year.
Mm. Year by year, huh?
Year by year. You got to look for the long term. Got to look for the long term.
All right. Well, that should just about wrap it up. You got any more facts you got to say or anything to add?
Too many facts, not enough time. Grow your own, eat local, eat healthy, try your hand at home cooking. It's very worthwhile.
It's an honor, Mr. Kingsley.
My pleasure.
Thank you for being here.
Take care of the guys here.
All right, will do. All right, I'm Tim. Keep it real, y'all.